Good afternoon and welcome. Thanks for being with us. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Today, it's a conversation about Maryland's economy. Over the past 7 years, GDP in Maryland has grown a paltry 1.6%, while GDP for the country as a whole has grown nearly 14%. This is part of the data revealed in a recent report on the state of the Maryland economy by Maryland Comptroller Brooke Learman. Over the weekend, lawmakers in the Maryland House of Delegates passed a $1.2 billion package of increases in tolls, fees, and taxes to close projected deficits in the Transportation Trust Fund and the general operating portion of the state budget. Governor Moore and Senate President Bill Ferguson have said taxes should remain off the table during this session. So can Maryland grow its economy and balance the budget? Comptroller Brooke Learman joins us on the phone from Annapolis. Madam Comptroller, welcome back.
For having me, Tom. It's great to be here.
So is it dumb of me to link the current discussion of taxes and toll fee increases and stuff in Annapolis with the economic health of the state? I mean, this report, doesn't talk about taxes in particular, but that seems to be on people's minds, as it turns out, at this very moment. What was the aspiration for this report, and should people think about it in terms of, revenue for the state as well?
Question. So the impetus of this report actually started a year ago. In March at my first Board Revenue Estimates hearing, where I'm the chair of the BRE, as we call it. And that's a body that's, of course, tasked with estimating how much money we have coming in our revenue so that we can build a budget around those expected revenues. And what we saw at the BRE last March in 2023 was concerning. We saw less growth. We saw some challenges in the private sector. And really, I indicated back then that it indicated some flashing yellow lights about our economy and our economic health as a state. And so we then undertook, I think for the first time ever, in the Office of the Comptroller, a month-long study. We interviewed and met with hundreds of Maryland business leaders, economic development leaders around the entire state, from the shore to Frostburg and everywhere in between. And then our BRE, our Bureau of Revenue Estimates, really crunched the data that they had and looked at, a variety of different factors to determine how our economy is doing and understand where the challenges are. And one of the challenges, a key challenge that we identified, was in labor force participation. And, of course, our labor force participation, that rate of the number of people who are actively participating, they're working or they're looking for jobs. If fewer people are working, then there is fewer money coming in the form of income taxes, withholding taxes, and whatnot. And so there is certainly some link, but we really did this report because we felt it was important to provide information to our partners in government, the General Assembly, the governor, local government leaders, and business leaders on what the challenges and opportunities are in our economy writ large. Not related to revenues and not necessarily, but just about, where we are and things that we should be working on.
And listeners, we apologize for the problems that we're having connecting with Comptroller Learman. We had hoped to get her on Zoom, and that wasn't working. And now we have a phone connection that's less than ideal, but we will soldier through and do the best we can. Again, if you've just joined us, we're talking about a new report that the Comptroller recently issued about the state of the Maryland economy. So, Madam Comptroller, one of the things that you say right at the top of the report is you list all of the assets we have here in Maryland, and they are considerable. And one of the first things you mention is the lowest unemployment rate in the country, or among the lowest. So what's the difference between the unemployment rate, which is in terms of this report, 1.8%, it's incredibly low, and the labor force participation? You're not happy about labor force participation. You're very happy about the unemployment rate. Explain the distinction.
Sure, absolutely. And I'm sorry about the connection. The difference really is the labor force participation rate is the number of people who are in jobs in Maryland. And our labor force participation has actually fallen since 2020. So it's about 55%. But before the pandemic, it was 69%. That represents over 180,000 Marylanders who are no longer employed and are also not looking for work. So a person who's not participating in the labor force, right, that's one who somebody is not employed and they're not looking for work. And actually part of the reason that our employment rate is so low is because we have fewer people looking for jobs. In fact, we have roughly 3 job openings for every one job seeker in Maryland, as opposed to nationally, where there's 1.3 jobs for every one job seeker. So, you know, this is one of the challenges that we have identified in the states, and we believe that our sluggish economic growth, which is really concentrated in the private sector, is because of this constrained labor force participation. That we in the private sector, they're having a hard time growing because there aren't enough people who are looking for work, who want to work in some of these jobs.
And so, as we compare ourselves to the national rate, the national rate of growth is much higher, but also neighboring states have rates that are higher, Pennsylvania, Virginia. What's the explanation behind that?
Yeah, so we have seen faster economic growth. Economic growth really began stagnating 2016, 2017 before the pandemic in Maryland. Really started falling behind Virginia, Pennsylvania in terms of economic growth, which is our gross domestic product, personal income, real wages, and our population growth. And so I think, you know, one of the things that we're trying to determine is we're separating out federal sector, because we, of course, have the federal sector, so many Marylanders work or a part of, and the private sector. And where we really see the challenges are in the private sector. And we do talk, you know, throughout the report about some of the reasons for those challenges. One of them that we identified is housing, this high cost living in Maryland, and a key component of the high cost of living is housing. And housing was actually one of the number one issues raised in every roundtable discussion that we did around the states, that people are having challenges, their employees are having challenges finding housing near where they work. We had our first population decline during the pandemic, or since World War II, I should say. So that also goes to why we have this lower labor force working. And then we identify several other specific categories around the opioid epidemic and women leaving the workforce as well.
And the population decline in the report, you mentioned that in and of itself certainly doesn't explain the rate of growth being so slow, but it has an impact. Baltimore
right.
City was down, Baltimore County was down. There are some jurisdictions, Carroll County, for example, which are up slightly. But so population decline is a concern, but it's certainly not the only factor in the rate of growth, right?
Exactly. Oh, yes, absolutely. Certainly population decline is part of it, but it's not all of it. And it's interesting to also look at who is working and who's not. So one of the things that we looked at particularly were women and women's participation in the labor force. And we saw that women are actually participating in the labor force, or women left the labor force in Maryland at a higher rate than they did nationally. So in Maryland, we lost about 2% of women, and whereas nationally, it was closer to 1%. And so we looked into and started researching, you know, what are some of the factors that are contributing to this? What happened, frankly? And we looked at, you know, that there are certainly industries that were most likely to employ women were disproportionately impacted by the pandemic. You look at childcare, and of course we have some of the highest cost of childcare in the nation in Maryland, and, you know, thousands of spots during the pandemic, and we haven't made up all of those spots. And we also believe there is some, that there is also women have left the labor force to go start their own businesses, and perhaps those businesses have not yet popped up as registering with economic data because there is a lag. So there's a number of post-pandemic trends that indicate depressed levels of labor force participation in Maryland among women. And we have to really keep our eye on that to make sure that women who want to work can work and that it makes sense economically for them as well, because women are key to our economy.
Yeah, and you make the point in the report that in terms of the age cohort, the labor force participation is down between people who are in their mid-20s through their mid-50s, which are, generally speaking, you know, your peak income earning years. So it's not, you know, it's not just how many people are not in the labor force, it's who is not in the labor force, women, etc.
Exactly. And, you know, to take it back to the beginning of our discussion then, right, if you're in your peak income years and you're not working, then you're paying taxes to the state. So it all comes together.
All right. And you specifically also say that you're not doing this report, you're not releasing it in order to make specific policy recommendations. But what has the reaction been from folks in the Maryland General Assembly? And is this going to be a tool that you think will be employed as they think about things like taxes, like toll increases, fee increases, et cetera?
Sure. It's an important question, and right, we really gave this. We wanted to get it out before session, not because it was promoting specific policies, but because as the legislature and the governor and our county executives and county council members around the state are considering policies, they have this to keep in mind, right? And so, for instance, you know, Speaker Jones and the General Assembly over the past couple of years have made real strides in supporting women's ability to get access to child care scholarships. And, you know, talking about how important child care access is in this report, I think buoys the work that they've been doing and really, you know, grounds it not just as a women's issue, but as an overall economic issue that is vital to our state, right? One of housing availability and affordability. We do a whole special pullout section on that. And, you know, Governor Moore and his team and Secretary Day at DHCD have really been working on, have a whole housing package. And so, enabled to lean on data that we compiled in this report to demonstrate just, again, housing availability and affordability key to our economy. It's my hope that this report in those instances and in other instances can be helpful information to our policymakers.
All right, Comptroller Burke Lameron, thanks so much for explaining what's in this document, and appreciate it, and good luck for the rest of the session.
Thank you. Take care. Keep in touch.
Up next, programs at the Schaefer Center for Public Policy aim to get young people inspired to work in the public sector and to develop management skills to make them effective leaders. I'll speak with Schaefer Center Director Ann Cotton and a couple of graduates of the program that the programs, I should say, that the Schaefer Center sponsors on the other side of a quick break. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is Baltimore's NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.